What's up?
Hello.
We're back after
good
a
to be
long
back.
Hiatus.
Good to be back. But I feel like it's supposed to be fall, but it's so sunny outside. I'm actually quite sweltering.
Yeah, so we're really lucky because I know my coworkers down in New York, it's been raining.
Oh, yeah, gross. I mean, we got the rain last week.
We did get the rain last week. And then I had to do conversions on weather, obviously, just some American-Canadian shit. And
like they were Fahrenheit? Like,
yeah, they're like, it feels like 3. What does that even mean? I'm like, yeah, it's gross. I told you. It sounds so much worse when we say it. Yeah, yeah. It feels like 3 outside. They're like, what?
I'm also doing the thing again when we talk about weather, and I fucking
I know,
hate it.
I hate
so
it. Sorry,
we'll
sorry.
Take it back. Okay, guys who are listening, there is a Brew and Chew event happening beside us right now at Stacked. Good question. I have no idea what it is either. It looks like it's a lot of dogs and brews. There's a lot of dogs running around and there's a DJ. So if you're having some trouble hearing us, that is why.
Yeah, I think we're good, but hopefully it's fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a really nice day. So I guess dogs, beer,
need some brewing.
You know, the whole vibe, the whole dog owner vibe where you have to drink and play with your dogs.
Yeah, maybe it's like a really cute meet cute event.
Maybe.
Maybe there'll be some love flying in the air.
Oh, God.
Ready for cuffing season.
Oh,
anyways,
God.
Evie, catch me up. What have you been up to? What are you watching? What's on your list?
Okay, so I've been busy. I've been doing a lot of changing my job is really different. So I've been doing a lot of social videos. So you probably can consume stuff there.
I think everyone's getting you served on their For You page.
Perfect.
And her amazing content.
Oh, perfect. So, I mean, yeah, just check it out because obviously I'm a big proponent of like changing, you know, the way people get news and stuff. I find it really important. So stay updated. That's been a big change in my life. In terms of my personal life, I have just been getting ready. And I hate to bring this about weather, but again, the winter really affects me.
Mm-hmm.
Just because
we get sad.
We get sad. And I always ask my mom like annually when it gets cold, like, why did you immigrate here and not like LA? I always just have to ask one time. Because
one
it's
time.
Like,
obligatory.
Yeah. And you know, like in Hong Kong, where we're from, it's literally like an island, right? So it's just so hot and just sweltering. So I feel like it's part of my DNA, but obviously I'm used to this place. But other than that, I've been watching Little Women, which is on Netflix. And
yes.
not the Americanized or the British mm-hmm, version. I'm mm-hmm. talking about like the Korean version. It's yeah. Have you watched it?
Yeah. How far are you in?
I'm far. I'm at the most updated. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I'm like 4 episodes behind. Little Women on Netflix right now with K-drama is like a classic K-drama where I think it's going to get good. There's so much potential. Character development is happening. There's so many like potentials it can be. And then it just flops.
No.
No. Like what's happening? Like it's so confusing. Every single time you think there's going to be like a redemption arc or like there's revenge happening. There's literally nothing happening. Oh my God. That guy really freaked me out.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Someone just came up to the window and just started from the brew and chew. Whatever.
Yeah, so honestly, in my group, my K-drama group chat right now, like no one has any idea what's going on. I am not a fan. I did stop at like episode 6, I think. And it's like, nothing's making sense. What do you like about it?
You know what? I feel like I live for chaos and just trying to figure out what's
going
on.
It is pure chaos.
Yeah, so like as someone who's like chaotic and needs to know what's happening, like I think that's why I'm still watching. And then a lot of stuff, like I don't want to say everything, but like things get unveiled. But I know what you mean because it is like a slow burn. You're mm-hmm. like, why are all these things happening? It also is like very set in a different time and plot than the actual book. So please don't go there expecting that it's not that Little Woman. Yeah.
For context, actually, I haven't read Little Woman or seen any recent adaptations with like Timothée Chalamet and stuff in a really long time. So I don't know even what the story is about. But for this one, context is it's 3 sisters. They're very poor. It's a neglected mother and a father. So they just like kind of try to make ends meet with however they can. The older one gets wrapped up in this kind of like murder with a close friend. She's always like an outcast at work. So they kind of bonded through that. And there was like a huge embezzlement scheme that comes out. And then she ends up getting a lot of money, but that ends up getting taken away too. But then there's like the middle sister who's like an active journalist. Maybe you resonate with her because she's all about like speaking the truth and like exposing everyone.
Exposing everything, even though like it puts you in harm's way
exactly.
and your whole family. Yeah.
And
there
is a lot of like, will they not? Like you were rooting for them because you want to eventually see them happy and like rich and see how they're going to spend the money. But before I go further, Evie, would you have kept the money?
Probably not, but I can't say I wouldn't keep
really?
All of it.
I would keep all of it.
I don't know if I would keep all of it. I think I would do other things, like better things with it. But this is a question I just like, I get so weirded out. Like, you know, the hypothetical, like if you just found $1 billion, what would you do?
I know exactly what I'm going to do.
Okay, you give us the download because I need to think about it a lot. Like I have no idea, but if you know, Give it to us.
Well, there's this TikTok that I saw, and this guy was like, if you ever win the lottery, the first thing you're going to do is nothing. Like, don't tell anyone. Nothing changes in
yes,
your life.
Yes, yes,
you're
going
to walk into a rich-ass lawyer's office and ask them to talk to a partner, like a senior partner, and then you get them to be like a business manager, and then you kind of sort your assets yeah. and stuff. That's kind of like how far I've gotten in my lottery winning fantasy.
I think that's really important, the whole idea of like not sharing. I think if you win the lottery here in some places in the States, you're actually obligated to show your face and it's led to like death threats, which is obvious. Like people around you are gonna like stalk you and try to find you, obviously.
Yeah, that is
But I think that's pretty good advice. Yeah. You gotta get someone who knows the money
what they're doing and how they're gonna like make sure that I pay the least amount of tax.
Okay, Jazz is on some like Swiss bank shit, it. Honestly. She's on some offshore banking shit, honestly.
I want some Bahamas banking.
I love it. But yeah, that show, it's just like a lot of big themes. Not like Little Women, but it is about three like very different sisters who try to like take over. Basically, they're trying to take over a big conglomerate.
Yes.
Right? Like they're take over, trying to bring them down.
They're trying to expose the truth, but they're like, they have no resources. They did have like an ally who was your grandmother, but like everyone just mysteriously keeps dying. And then the whole thing is that they find this like mysterious blue orchid that every time someone's dying, it's there. And then they all do research to be like, oh, it has hallucinogenic effects, but every single one of them still smell it. And I'm just like, what is the point? Can't you realize there's the correlation of that? If you're smelling it, if you're near this fly, you're in danger, but you're actively inhaling it. That just part pissed me off. And every sister is just so annoying.
So Jazz is not a fan.
I stopped watching.
I'm going to try to watch it till the end because again, it's just
tell me what happens at the end.
I will. It's just like, you know, fraud, greed, you know, can money change a person's mind? I want to just like watch all that and see, but I think I passed the threshold. It was painful though. I'm not going to lie. And this is so bad of me, but I'm someone who watches shit on like 0.5 speed. Sometimes.
I know you really taught me. I now listen to every podcast in 1.25. You have just, really influenced me.
Like it's just like sometimes, you know, maybe I can hear things quickly. Maybe I can't actually. I just like, well, I get really impatient. I don't know.
Do you speak Korean all of a sudden?
No, I don't.
You read quickly.
I read quick. Yeah, sorry. I do not speak Korean. But like, it's the same thing with like, I was actually having this talk recently. It's same thing about eating. Like I just scarf things down. Like it's going to go away in 3 seconds. Yeah. Or like I walk really fast to destinations for no reason. Like I'm like, oh my God, I'm like speeding past people because I can't stand people who stroll. But it's like, what is that? Like, why does that get built in you though? Like, for me, I was talking to my mom about it, and like, definitely she was like, oh, I probably passed on the eating thing because she had like 8 siblings growing up. And if you don't take the food, it's gone, right? Like, that's pretty
survival.
Survival. But then the walking thing, I'm like, you know, when you get into the city and like people are just strolling on like a Saturday, like a whole family takes up the whole sidewalk and they're like walking at the slowest speed. Like for some reason I get so irked, but they're just strolling and having a good time. Meanwhile, I'm like thinking everything's a race. You know what I mean?
Same. Why? I'm exactly the same way.
I need to know why.
I wonder if also part of it is because like, I wonder like at Aritzia, like we couldn't just walk up and down the store. Like we were always in a hustle. I wonder if that kind of also correlated into your faster speed.
I think it's like if you work retail,
you're always on that hustle. Yeah. Like you can't just like stroll around.
So and it never goes back to normal.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
Oh,
I think I relate to that because I'm also such a fast walker and I generally don't know why. Like I'm not in a rush. Well, okay. To be fair, sometimes I'm most likely late to something. I think I have way more time than I actually do. I really
like
overestimate my timing to get ready and all this stuff. But I think I'm also just kind of like rushing through the city. And like, I do wonder why is it that I'm just always huffing and puffing for no reason.
Yeah.
And just getting sweaty.
I also like, I don't want to connect it too much, but like this whole idea of working and being efficient is just like so ingrained in our cultures, in our, at least mine, and I'm sure yours as well. It's just like, you better get shit done. Like when you, everything you do, do it fast, efficient, obviously accurate, but like get it done. I don't know. That's just been a thing, I guess. Being someone like growing up in that culture and being like you, that is like a marker of like,
success.
Goodness, success, performance.
Your worth.
Yeah. So I was really trying to like the other day stroll and like try to be like, oh, let me just enjoy. It's like very hard for me. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not used to it. I think I'm just set in my ways. But like, I think it's also just again, like my grandma and my mom being like, you better be efficient. Mm-hmm. You know, don't cause problems. Like get to the issue before anyone needs to ask you about it kind of thing. So like always having to anticipate like 2-3 steps ahead is just so definitely
exhausting.
Part of like the immigrant child experience. It's like, why am I signing my mom up for passports and health cards? Like since I was like seven, and my brother. I'm like, that's crazy if you think about
That's a lot for a child.
I'm sure you did a lot of that stuff too.
Yeah. No, I think the only thing my mom made me do is I would go up to like Winner's clerk and ask for a discount. And
I hated doing that.
And I was like, Mom, like, just buy it regular price. I don't want to. Like,
but like, I love how she was like, I'm not doing it. You do it.
Yeah. I mean, she would probably do it too, but like, she would like make me do it.
And because like of the English, like the barrier.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's so rough. Yeah. And that's like, so rough.
I mean, in hindsight, I 100% would be the person to do that now. Yeah. But back then it was just so embarrassing.
No, I know what you mean. Because like, again, they grow up in a different place where my mom used to be like, you can haggle for anything. I'm like, you really can't haggle for everything. No. If I go to like Sport Check or Nike, I can't be like, come on.
Yeah. Like,
you know, I shop here.
You can break it down.
I shop here all the time. Like, they're like, cool. I don't give a shit. Like, why would I give you like any percent off? It's like, but they always, even to this day, my mom's like, no, what if we buy like more and then it's like a package and like they can take it? I'm like, no.
Oh my God.
It doesn't work like that.
My mother, I recently went and visited her.
I wish it did.
There's this Korean beauty makeup brand or like skincare brand called Surwasu, and it's like really good. I love it.
Oh, I don't know.
My mom is like, oh my God, I tried these things. Like, you have to try it out. And she's like, it's really expensive, but I found a hack. So she like went on eBay or like some other site and she bought just like a bunch of travel sizes.
Yeah.
So it's in multiple travel sizes because it was like cheaper than the full bottle. And I feel like the amount that she actually spent to buy these travel sizes, she could have bought a regular size item. So I'm just like, I don't know what in your mind.
So is that a hack?
No, it wasn't even a hack. Okay, and I think in her mind, she was like, but I have so many little multiples that I can use over. Like, and I was like, mother, you could have just bought a full size and I think you'd have been okay. So just like random hacking
things.
I know. And she's a type, like she should never be able to watch the shopping channel because she will literally buy everything on a 3-month like payment plan.
Oh
like,
my God.
She has every single appliance you can think of. She has a bread maker, a KitchenAid mixer, a juicer. Meanwhile, they all are now coming to my house because she never uses it.
Yeah.
And she's like, but think about how much money I'm going to save not buying bread. I'm like, you spent $300 on a bread maker and you never even use it.
I know. It's really bad. Like, I don't know why our moms are like this. My mom is also so easily convinced. Like, in the mall, you know those people that stop you for skincare?
Like, oh, let me give you some lotion.
It's over. It's over. But I have to be there as the adult in the car and being like, no.
Put your wallet away,
we're
mom.
Good. We're good. We're good. If she's alone in a mall, it's fucking over if she sees any of those people.
Oh my God, that's
it's like,
hilarious.
It's funny because it's like, it's like every time it's like about saving hacks. So every time she goes to a hotel, like I can't tell you how many little bottles of like shampoo and conditioner is in her house. Mm-hmm. And it's honestly clutch because like when we go travel, I'm like,
it is clutch.
Oh, amazing. Like these are here.
But how often are you actually able to like use it to its fulfillment? Like never.
Yeah, never. Yeah. I just like love that in their head, that's a deal.
I know. It's cute. Sure.
It's cute. It's really strange. And I just like still to this day can't get over the fact that like they think they can haggle. Not they. My mom thinks she can haggle for like prices at the mainstream like white mall. Mm-hmm. Like maybe at like our Chinese malls or like other malls. But like that doesn't work here.
No.
That is no good at all.
Bless their hearts.
Literally.
I recently watched a lot of Korean movies, not shows, movies.
Okay.
My friend Crystal got a bunch of tickets at TIFF and it was like a Korean, I think there was like a Korean special or something at TIFF this year or like honoring. And I think the Korean president actually was in Toronto recently too.
Really?
And then the Korean embassy hosted this like K-drama night or something like that. It kind of looks really sad, to be honest. But Lee Jung-jae from Squid Game was there.
Oh, yes.
So I didn't see him at the embassy, but I went and saw one of his movies called The Hunt. And it's his directorial debut. I think he launched it at the Venice Film Festival or something. So it wasn't like the first time ever watching it. But it was him and then Chung Woo-sung, which is like another really famous Korean actor. And both of them are just the most handsome man. They're like in their 40s looking so good. So the movie was Hunt. I didn't really know what it was about, but I knew it was like Korea in the 80s. And before I go into what the movie was about, it was like a really good moment for me to like learn about history of Korea. Cause like the 80s in Korea was really interesting because that was when we were under a dictatorship. And then like one of our presidents actually got assassinated. And then the dictator president, which all of this information I found out because I actually got to have a good conversation with my dad about it, because obviously my parents were in Korea in the 80s and they obviously remember this era. And I had this such distinct memory of my mom telling me that when she used to go to university, to school, she would always get like tear gas and stuff because there was such huge protests going on.
Damn.
So the reason for this protest was because this president was a dictatorship. Obviously, you can only be a president for like 4 years or 8 years, two terms or whatever.
Mm.
But that he wanted to continue to be in power.
So he actually wanted to change the law. Yeah.
And then everyone wanted like a democratic country. So they were uproaring and it was a lot of like university kids because obviously it was impacting them. And then they wanted to protest against it. And for some, there was like some connection where there's this like small town in Korea where there was like another big rally. And that was kind of like it's basically like everyone gathering to Toronto to go fight at the city hall or something like that. It was like a smaller town. And then a bunch of kids went and they actually ended up being like a civil war against like Koreans, and like so many people died. I think it's a wrong number, but it was either like 300,000 or like that. Maybe that's too much, but there's like a lot of like Koreans died because of it. And it was like Korea against Korea. So it was like a really ugly time in our history. And then it was, and then obviously it became a democratic country, but it was like really cool, like seeing university kids. And like there was also so much like darkness with North Korea having like spies in South Korea. So everyone was like seen as a communist and all this stuff. So the movie is about like espionage. So it's against a domestic security officer and an international security officer that both work for the president. But then there's a rat in the team that keep leaking all these like things that they have to do. It was so amazing. It was action packed from start to finish. It
so
was
you enjoyed. So many twists and
turns. I loved it.
Can you star it out of 10 or 5?
Oh, I would give like a 4 out of 5. Like,
wow.
I thought it was okay. I think it would have been hard to understand if you don't know the context of the Korean history.
The history, yeah.
But it was so cute because it was like the opening night at TIFF. So we were at like the Sony Center.
Yes.
Yeah, on King, which was like a beautiful theater. And then Crystal got us the seats on the mezzanine where the next row over was where all the stars come and sit. Mm. So Lee Jeong-jae and then Chung came up to the front say hi and whatever. And then Crystal's like, Jazz, they're going to come sit right over there. And I was like, oh my God. So not only did I get to watch this amazing movie, I got to watch Lee Jeong-jae watch his own movie like to
next
my peripherals.
Him.
It That's was amazing. Amazing. And it was so cute because he was like actually like leaning towards like the balcony and like really like absorbing like all the everyone's reactions and stuff like that. So I thought that was like a really endearing moment. And they did like a really thorough Q&A after. And like, yeah, it was just like really cool seeing Asian cinema like that, Korean cinema like that, and like an international level and like filling out the entire theater. There was like people lining up trying to get like will call tickets and stuff. And yeah, that was just really cool to like get that visibility.
No, that's really cool. And also it's like someone that you grew up knowing, like a star that you've known for a while. And obviously they've both been really big for a while. I can't imagine that. And just like having it, because like people, like we're in Toronto, right? So TIFF is actually like quite big here. Like it's an event that they really did so much work to actually get stars here. And so like they do. And like it's actually impressive. But I just like love how they're trying their best to expand. I think like the director of TIFF is someone who's very committed to making it more diverse.
And the CEO is black. And I think.
Yes, exactly.
The director of programming is Asian.
Yeah, so I think that with all that, like, I think they have a big aim to bring in all that kind of cinema. Not just, like, you know, our classic Hollywood stars, but there's...
I mean, like, I saw Daniel Craig. I saw back of Daniel Craig's head.
She did see the Hollywood stars, too.
I did see the Hollywood stars.
Amazing. Yeah. But also, it's really cool to have, like, all these foreign films and also, like, films by Indigenous creators. So I think, like, they're doing a great job and, like, it's cool. Like, it's just... You never imagined that situation maybe, like, 5 or even 10 years ago, you know what I mean? You wouldn't imagine sitting in that theater watching that in a sold out crowd.
Exactly.
Right?
It's no, weird. I think
good. Weird.
It was really cool, and watching that movie made me want to reflect back on kind of like wanting to learn more about my Korean culture and history.
Yeah,
I got served this other TikTok today where it was about kind of the history of K-pop, and this guy. Oh, it was actually Ronnie Chan who was talking about it for the
history of K-pop.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's the show that Trevor Noah is in? The Daily? Or
The Daily, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it was about that. And it was actually cool because they go way back into like the 50s or the 40s of K-pop. And there's actually, and I want to dig more into it, but there was these three Korean women singers that were the very first to be able to go overseas and like sing for troops to like increase morale. And they were like so fucking cool. And then they were also like appeared on like North American TV for the first time. And they had such high feedback. They got to come back and perform 20 more times. So like it actually actually stem from like the 40s to all the way up. And like under the dictatorship, we could only listen to obviously like our internal music. We basically listened to like our national anthem. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then when like in the 80s, when the dictatorship led, that's when we're able to get like Run DMC and like a more hip hop like coming in.
Changed the culture.
Exactly. Yeah. So just kind of seeing that, I felt like, obviously we see like the BTSs of the world now and be like, oh, like that's cool. But like, I really do want to be able to know the history and the substance behind it. So that was like a really good like awakening moment.
Yeah, no, it's like they wouldn't even have that. This huge, like basically, like Korea has a huge hold on entertainment, but it wouldn't be that before that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that's actually really cool to learn. We actually got like these anonymous questions, and one of them is like, what do you want to know more about Korean culture?
Should we get into these questions?
Or Chinese culture, which I think that you just answered one really well. Yeah. Like, it's like, that's, I'm learning that. Yeah. Like, and I really think that's good to know because it's like, it comes from a place and it comes from like a lot of funding. You don't just like get a star and then it just starts. Like, I think like in the 80s, like I was reading somewhere like where Korea really invested in their pop. Like they might have started with like very few things, but they were like, no, this is gonna be your thing. And now it's like crazy. You know, they basically run so many different types of genres. And like, one thing I want to add from my update from the beginning is like, I'm so into this one mukbang creator recently. Yeah. Like, her name's Hamzy. She's always on YouTube, whatever. Yeah. But I just like, I don't know. It's just like something about, it's not just eating the food, but she also cooks it. And it's just like, that's a genre that like really, I feel like Korea has become a powerhouse around mukbang. Like, obviously, if you don't like watching it, it's not as simple as like just eating all this food. It's like,
there's an art to it.
There really is. Mm-hmm. And it's like eating, but then like your mouth is clean. But then I'm just like watching, I'm like, oh, I want to eat that tomorrow. Like, this is straight influencing, you know what I mean? Like, I just want to eat all that.
Where do I order?
Exactly. And I just think it's cool. Like, I just think there's so many different facets, whether you're like a foodie, which is a big part of Korean culture, obviously, and lots of like other Asian cultures. But like, the way you guys treat food is and drink is so amazing. Like, I was telling this to my partner. I was like, it's like such a ritual. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. It's like, even with like how you drink, and I know this is in Japan too, but like, you know, your first sip of beer is going to be like a big sip, right? It's like your biggest sip that you can take. And just like those kind of things is really cool. And also remember like watching Tampopo, which is this amazing old school like Japanese film about Japanese people when they came more westernized, wanted to like learn how to eat spaghetti with a fork. But because the culture in Asia, a lot of slurping is actually a compliment. They were trying to eat it, the spaghetti with a fork without slurping. And then eventually there's like this amazing scene where they're all just slurping spaghetti out of this like really fancy restaurant. It's like in black and white. And I'm like, that's part of like the art of eating. Like, that's super cool. So I've been like learning more about the eating practices of Asian cultures. It's really, really interesting.
Yeah, I think one of the best ways to introduce someone to Korean culture is definitely through drinking and eating, and which obviously also go hand in hand. And there's so many coupled food items that have come up to help with that. So there is chimaek, which is chicken and beer together. And like, everyone knows K-barbecue and soju. And then I feel like when I'm in those moments, like having to tell them about like, hey, you know, so like the youngest of the group is the one that has to pour everyone's drink, and the glass can't be empty. When you're taking a sip in front of an elder, you got to actually look away. You can't look at them. So just like, I do love those moments of like history where you can kind of share the culture and then get to know. And yeah, I always do have such pride that like Korea and a lot of Asian culture is so old, and there's so many generations of things. And like, I don't know, like, what do we think about like North American drinking culture, like beer pong and like flip cup and like not to like down talk it whatsoever, but like, I'm sure maybe there is more history that we don't know because there was like the whole like prohibition era, whatever. But like, I just love there when there are moments that we can kind of introduce people to different cultures in like a fun way.
Yeah, like definitely centuries old stuff, like if not thousands of years old, these practices, which is kind of cool.
Okay, should I go through more of these questions?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's like this app called Not Gonna Lie. And then you can ask questions anonymously. It's a very much like Facebook honesty box. Do you have experience with that when you're in high school?
Yes, I do. I do. I kind of like TikTok has that feature, but I didn't really, do a lot of it. Yeah, it has like anonymous Q&As.
Oh, yeah. I do remember like my first mean honesty box message that I got on Facebook.
What was it?
And now I don't even remember. But I remember just being like, oh, that wasn't nice, but whatever. Okay, I'll go. There, these questions are really random. So first one is, who do you have pinned on iMessage? Do you use that feature on your messages?
I only have my partner pinned, Wayne.
Wow.
I'm not, like, first of all, I'm very disorganized as a person. If you need to know me, like, everyone is not saved first name, last name. Like, they're either saved
that
as a nickname.
Give me anxiety.
You're like Jazz or JAS. Like, I don't save people. I save people the way I would call them in their head. So I'm not someone who can use that effectively, but I would be interested in who you have pinned.
Oh, I don't. Okay, so I don't use the pinned feature.
Okay.
I love the act of scrolling down to try to find the name that I'm doing. And I feel like when I do have the messages pinned, it actually doesn't give me like a badge notification to see how many messages
it doesn't.
So I feel like I'm actually missing messages more. Yeah. So I don't like it. And I don't like the aesthetic of the big circles.
I agree. I only did this recently because I had seen it on my partner's phone. I was like, oh, that's cool. It's like really quick to click it if I have to say so many things. But as you know, like I'm someone who types like BBM. Like I have one word messages for like 20 messages. Like
you also are the worst texter. Every single time she shares like a screenshot, I'm always triggered by how many unread messages you have.
Oh, I'm a terrible texter. I just like, it's not even just about the text. It's just like, it takes me so much to go through the messages and I'm just like, oh my God, I can't right now. And I'm just like, I can't right
now. Is it almost that like you want to give the proper time to reply back, but you know you can't. So you just kind of like,
I don't want to give like a stupid message. Like, so it's not that I'm overthinking. Like, I just want to be really into it. But sometimes like when I'm really stressed, yeah, it's like compartmentalizing sort of like as a Capricorn, just being like, I'll do this later. I can't do this right now. I just can't right now. Yeah. I don't know. It's bad.
Dead or alive, who would you want to interview and what would you ask them?
Oh, no, you first. Let me think. Do you have one, though? I can think of someone, like, off the top of my head, but it's not, like, someone I would think is, like, the ultimate.
I know. Maybe top of my head. I always talk about with Leo, if we were to have dinner with anyone, I would love to have it with RuPaul and Michelle Visage.
Oh, like, I think that would be such a fun dinner.
But I don't think there's something specific I would want to ask them.
Yeah, I feel like just being at that dinner is
enough.
I feel like the energies are flowing. Yes. Like, it's going to be crazy.
Oh my God, I want to just die of laughter.
Okay. Yeah, I want to be there to laugh.
How about you?
I mean, that was not like the thing I had in my head, but I actually do want to like, he's dead, but I actually want to know more about Bruce Lee. I just do. I know there's a documentary and we've been trying to watch
it. Great answer.
But I really just want to know. Like, it's just like crazy, you know, the whole 80s era Kung Fu films. I think that's cool. I think it's really fun. And then like him coming to fame, the overdose. And this is the kind of person like people in Hong Kong, like my dad and everyone knew. Like if you were there, you seen him on the street. It's not like you run to him. It's like that guy will pick a fight with any motherfucking person. Yeah. Doesn't matter if he's a star. Like I want to know why he's like that, you know? I just want to know.
Yeah, that's so true. I feel like I'm always like psychoanalyzing, like what made that person to be that way?
Yeah.
That is very interesting.
Yeah, and Bruce Lee would be like, if someone gave him a weird look, like
it triggered
him. He would actually fight them in the street, which I don't condone that. I think that's fucked, but it's also Bruce Lee. I just want to be like, whoa, like, what happened to you? Yeah, like, what's going
on? Very interesting. Yeah. I like that. Okay, what is your dream collaboration? Brand, company, organization, or person, and how would you want to collaborate with them?
Oh my God.
Also good question.
This is such a good question because it's like telling us to do the work. It's I was like, if we come up with something, we have to
Some work?
Okay, well, we've already done an interview with him, but I love Roy Choi like forever. If there's anything to do with the chef show, if there's anything to do with his pods, anything that he's on, or like I just think, and his food, obviously. I think if you're out in LA, you just got to check him out. Like or Las Vegas, there's a restaurant. I just like believe and love what he stands for, and I think it's awesome. Just like I would love to collab more with him.
Yeah, pretty much. I think he would. I think he loves us.
Yay. Yeah, he definitely is someone like
Roy. We're down.
Yeah, very inspired because like you can make Netflix and be like this hashtag celeb chef, but he doesn't come off like that. He literally every week still gives out, you know, tacos to vulnerable neighborhoods, does stuff like that, thinks about who is eating, how the food's grown. Like, I think that's cool. Like, I would collab with that.
Yeah.
How about you? Is there any other ones?
I would love to. I'm going to go big and I want to partner with like a giant like Korean department store, or like H Mart would be cool.
Ramen.
Nongshim. Yeah. Or CJ. Like any of those. God. Like I want to go big. That would be my dream collab.
So whoever wrote us this question, if there's any way you can make it happen,
let me know.
Any like, or soju companies.
I'm Yeah.
I'm good with that.
Chinlo, I'll take that. Yeah. Bakoli, I'll take that
all
too.
All of it.
Okay. Your last song on your Spotify.
Let's look.
I'll tell you mine while you look.
Okay.
I have been on a Kings of Leon tip recently.
Whoa.
And let me tell you why. There is this TV show called Tell Me Lies on Disney+. It's about like the late 2010s No, like 2008. And then that's like when it's like a freshman going into their first year of university from high school. And it's about like a really toxic relationship. Like the first episode starts with like 5 years later. And then they're all together like an engagement party. And then it goes back to 4 years before where it's like university. And
so it's like that nostalgia.
Let me tell you, they do a really good job of pairing the songs together where it's like Feist and like MMA3 and like Kings of Leon. Like it's just such good songs. But also the stories are very toxic. I will talk about the show in another episode because I have so many theories.
Yes.
But they also go through a lot of moments of like typical university experience. I don't know if you had the same, but like I lived on campus. I literally went buck wild. I drank so much. I partied and I would go to every single theme party. That was my jam. We went to anything but clothes party. I have a picture of myself with like gift wrap as a dress. So like anything but anything but clothes. Toga, neon ski on, like a green light. Do you remember, like green light?
I need
yellow
to see
light,
all these. I've never had this campus experience, but I need to see all these photos.
Oh my gosh!
Everyone, we have to. We have to see these.
So I love. So and it was kind of talking about that, and then there's also on like a darker side. There's like so much situations that you put yourself in where it's like, was there really consent? Like, because I feel like it's your first time kind of having your sexual experiences. And like, you know, for toxic masculinity, like losing your virginity before going to university is like a huge trope. And also like, you know, having to tell your girlfriends like, oh my God, I gave a blowjob for the first time. Like that's like such like something to be celebrated and be like kiki about. But like also when you're actually doing it, like, did you do it consensually? Like, did you feel pressure to it?
Yeah.
And so there's so many things about like self-respect and like how we can do that and just like the manipulation that comes with guys that are who are toxic. So the show is actually quite good. I don't know how it's gonna go. It's on episode 6 right now, and I feel like this is usually the turning point when the story does go bad for me, but but that's why I've been listening to Kings of Leon. What have you been listening to?
Okay. There's a lot. We have to unpack that in a different episode.
Oh, yeah. That's
like,
a lot there.
That was really a lot. And I was like, I need to share stuff too.
Exactly.
I was listening to September, which is obviously like, do you remember 21st of... But it's obviously not September. But again, I'm very weather-driven person. It's really nice. So I'm just feeling the groove. It's like old school disco.
Cute. Grooving.
And like on the street, it just like depends how I feel. Sometimes I'll be listening to like crazy emo beats. I don't even know how to explain that to you. Or I'll be listening to old stuff, or I'll be listening to just like really weird like bossa nova. Like I'm just very strange. So it's like all over the place, different moods. When I came here, I'm like, oh, it's so nice. I'm going to get here and Jazz got me a matcha. How sweet. And I'm like, that's the vibe I want to be in in here.
Set the mood.
Yeah.
Okay. How many exes do you have?
I don't know. I mean, let me think about it.
I know. I was reading this and I was like, how many do... I would say...
Are you going to count like every person like what is in the high threshold? School?
Maybe like 5 months and above.
Okay, fine. Let me think about that. You too, though. Let me think about it. Oh my God.
I would say I have one significant ex that was like my high school, like university ex. Mm-hmm. And then I have maybe 3 exes.
Okay, that's cool.
But can I tell you about my exes recently?
Yeah, are you friendly with them though?
Okay, so I was going to say, I walk down Toronto sometimes and be like, oh my God, like if I ever run into my ex, like it's going to be so embarrassing. I'm going to pretend I don't see them. But then I had this like feeling come over me recently being like, you know what? Like if I see them, like I'd be so happy for them. Like I have no animosity. Like I want you to be happy. I'm happy. You know, we grew up to be where we are.
It's been a long time.
Like no hard feelings. Yeah. Like now I'm kind of in a place where it's like, you know, if I do run into my ex, like it'll be okay. But I did go through a long time in Toronto where it's like, oh, it's going to be so awkward if I see them. But like now I'm in like a good place with my exes.
That's good. I mean, that's actually the best it can be. I have a friend who basically is friends with all her exes somehow. I'm like, you're crazy. I don't know how that
happens. That's too much. I think there needs to be a boundary.
Yeah, I don't know. For me, I'm going to say 5. Like I'm not counting.
Oh, wow. I don't even think I know those.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, there's like others.
You peaked early.
Yes, definitely. So yes, I think 5 to be like fair. I don't want to go into more of like high school. Like I don't even know how long. I can't even tell you. But like 5, I think 5's fair.
Wow. Okay, we're gonna need to deep.
And I'm not friends with any of them. So there you go.
Bye.
Yeah, I'm not friends with any.
Okay. How come your episodes aren't done more frequently? Love your podcasts, especially the K-drama recommendations.
Okay.
Great question. I know. Anonymous.
Really good question. Okay. I think every time we come back in the summer when we actually have been here, we both of us has gone through like tons of career changes and life changes, such like personal living.
It's not an excuse, we know.
No, it's not an excuse, but it is also time to get our minds into the right place,
back into
where
it.
We want to do it to the next level, right? Like, because I mean, we want to do our podcast. We love to do our podcast and we love to do it. It's mostly like, what else can we change it to? Because there's just so many things to post to these days.
Yeah.
I'm like, you have this new question app, which is amazing. There's obviously Instagram, which sometimes like love it, but drives me fucking crazy.
There's the TikToks. There's so much. To be honest, I don't even think it's an excuse. And maybe I'm not even trying to look for like pity in this statement, but like I generally feel like not that no one listens to us, but like I feel like we do it because we genuinely love it and we have so much fun doing it.
Yeah.
But I don't actually think about like the demand or like the people that are actually like excited to listen to us. Like I know there are listeners out there, obviously.
Yeah, I think that's like, sick. But like again with every brand, like maybe eventually, but like it's so organic and that's the way we started. And just like the monetization of like, okay, how do we do this next? I'm just like, it makes me exhausted. It will happen, hopefully. Like hopefully we can get organized, but like it's also it's a good vibe, like for us to just vibe out and not be too commercial about it. But eventually we'll see where it goes. Yeah. Not to like lose all of our character. I'm just saying, like,
we'll be back. Evolve. Don't you worry.
Don't worry.
Who's the last person you texted?
Oh, probably my partner, Wayne, during this episode where I was like, can you hear us properly? Because I just want to make sure it's working. That's it. How about you?
I think it was you. I literally said.
And I was like, I'm late. Yeah, and I was like, I'm running.
That was you. Okay. Next one is, it's not a question, but I think I know who sent this. It says, I have a secret crush on Evie. Wayne, get off of our Instagram app.
Truly. Okay. Hi. I just texted.
I think that wraps up our questions for now. There are some weird ones. I'm not going to lie. So I'm not going to go through it. But
we should have like a really unhinged episode and just like read the really bad, weird ones.
Yeah. Let's do it.
I have like a bunch of like haters on Twitter. So they just like watch me and they just send in really trash.
And that's
stuff
okay.
It's okay.
That's okay. You know, you made it when you have haters. That is what I like to say.
I guess.
Wayne
said it wasn't him, but
I don't believe you.
Okay.
Well. I don't believe you, Wayne.
Okay. Moving on.
Moving on. I shared this article with you. I was scrolling through my Instagram today and I saw this article by the Representation Project. And then it was like, from Partner Track to Summer I Turn Pretty to All the Boys, why aren't there more Asian couples on screen? So they are talking about how there are amazing Asian representation on TV shows now. There's so much more to find. But why is it that the Asian female lead is always ending up with the white male lead?
Right.
So they're kind of talking about that. And they're like, I guess like subtitle is like, as Hollywood reckons with lack of representation on screen and behind the scenes, having Asian women deciding between two white men left me wondering why there are so few love stories on my TV.
Yes.
So basically the writer is talking about, to Partner Track, which is like a drama on Netflix where the lead is Korean or Asian. And then she ends up having to decide
it's
between
like a Wall
two,
Street thing. American Netflix.
Exactly. Yeah. And then they're deciding between two white men, but there is like, so first of all, I didn't watch Partner Track, so I don't know it. But funny enough, my friend Crystal texted me, be like, hey, have you seen Partner Track? They celebrate Chuseok in episode 3 or something. And I was like, oh, very cool. I haven't heard of it. And we've talked about this show many times before with like all the shows that Jenny Han has made, which is All to All the Boys. And my, I guess, issue with it is that even the Asian leads are biracial. And I think that needs to be, that is more palatable to like the screen experience. And then they do all end up with white men. And something that I felt about reading this was I was playing kind of like the devil's advocate.
Yeah.
So this actually is all like intertwined together because when I was watching Tell Me Lies about like the university era, I was thinking about like how the low self-esteem that I had about myself. And it was also because I did go to university in Victoria, which I also there lacked a lot of Asian women that I could just see. And I think and this is not to like sound dark and sad, but like I genuinely grew up all throughout high school thinking that I wasn't pretty because I didn't have nowhere on TV was white men getting together with Asian women and nowhere in my high school where there were other Asian girls hooking up with white guys because there just wasn't any other Asians around. Yep. So I generally didn't think I wasn't desirable or that white guys could like not really find me attractive. Also because like, how was I supposed to know when there's no other Asians on TV for a guy to be like, oh my God, like that girl is so hot to like have any reference that like that could be a thing. So I think that was kind of like where I stemmed from. And I feel like if that was like 16-year-old Jasmine watching TV now, I would be like, oh my God, like there are so many biracial couples and this can be a thing. And I think that's kind of like where the devil's advocate come in, where I feel like I think it is cool to have a biracial representation because it is so lacking. And coming from an immigrant family dynamic where they want me to be with an Asian, that also comes with so much complexities and it's not also easy either.
Yeah.
And I think even if it is with just an Asian person that I have to date, they're going to have to think about like family values, like where, what school did they go to? Like it actually ends up being so much more complex than what it actually needs to be. If it is a white person, also like white culture is also going to be hard to kind of mesh as well with like the culture shock of it all.
Yeah.
But I just found it really interesting that like, I guess I agree to disagree with this article only because I think there's no right answer. I don't think there is a right answer because I think it's a double-edged sword that if you think that like there needs to be more Asian to Asian representation, couples representation, but I feel like that's also playing to the trope that Asians can only be with other Asians and we're not allowed to be with white people. And I don't think that's what they're saying either, but yeah. I just feel like both sides of the argument has a good point that I can't really say that one side is right or the other, which I don't think this article did, but that's just kind of my thought.
No, I think it's like really up to your individual and how you grow up. Of course, we would love to see like biracial relationships where maybe a Black and Asian character or even like more than that, like an Indigenous and a Black character, like, you know, just more of that. Obviously, we're missing that. Like we are, that's for sure. I think the one thing it's just like there's so many things that we've been told as Asian, I guess, women or people. It's just like, there's just so many expectations of like, A, you're either like the girl who is really proud of like being with a white person and in a really not love way, just like, oh, I got him. Like, I'm hot enough for a white person. Yes. There's one of that.
I have thought that many times.
Yeah. And there's also situations where it's also none of your business where someone just finds a person that you're with, whether, you know, they be white, Black or whatever, like that's just what it is. Like, so it's very hard to say this is what people are doing it for. Like, I think that's a vibe check that has to go through every single thing. Yeah, it'd be cool to have like Asian on Asian representation on screen. I think that'd be, you know, that is lacking. I agree. And it's always, again, like in the Americanized versions, because I'm not really watching all American shows, to be honest with you. Like, it's always like an Asian female, an East Asian female. I want to like emphasize it's not really Southeast Asian people or South Asian. Well, not really, but like more and more so, right? But not Southeast Asian. I just like, I get the point. I understand like the representation. People want to be seen. People want to be seen in different types of relationships. Mm-hmm. I think that we're just held to so many complex feelings because like there's no right or wrong. It's like literally this does happen a lot. Actually, if you walk down the street, there are so many white and Asian couples, right?
Yeah.
So are you saying that's untrue because it's on screen? No, it's not untrue. Like it's very true. And it's like whether the person's in it for a reason that's not weird, like colonial stuff, or just because they love the person, you can't be the one to judge unless like, it's your own people. But yeah, I just think that like more stories need to be told. This partner, the reason why I didn't watch it is because like, A, I don't really give a shit about like Wall Street stuff. Yeah. It's just really away from like what I care about. And then also like, it gave me a bit of like the Bling Empire / Crazy Rich Asians vibe. Yeah. I was like,
story's been done.
It's been done. And it's like, I get it. Like, it's amazing to see like a woman kill it on Wall Street. But like, there's also really powerful women where like money isn't the only like strength you have, right? Like, how about like people that are just like the everyday people that, you know, basically run our city, like people at convenience stores, people like, that some, well, there's Kim's Convenience, but I'm saying like more of those stories. I think it's just more accurate because there's only like the 1%, there's a 1% within Chinese people, Korean people, Filipino people. Like, we're just focusing on that, which I'm sure it's more glamorous and stuff, but like, I just couldn't watch it. That's the main thing. And then I was also like, yeah, the trope is back, but like, it's hard to say how I feel about it. I do want to see just more different types of couples on screen, whether they be straight, non-binary. Like, I don't know. There's just so much missing. So like, we got to be critical about like so many things, but I think that's a point to bring up. And it's obviously a good point to debate. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that article either.
Yeah. I mean, they do mention that Crazy Rich Asian was one of the last ones where there was like two Asian characters in a love story, but also Henry Golden Jr. was also half white. And like, he has like the most white, like features, I would say, to like pass as still like conventionally handsome. And then I guess the last one was like Awkwafina and Simu Liu. There was like, will there be, will there not be? There was some like tension there that there was kind of like the two maybe romantic partners that could have happened in Shang-Chi. But yeah, I just feel like But I guess from my personal experience, like, it's not like so I'm with a white partner, but it's not like I went to seek out to be like, I'm only dating white guys. Like, I have dated many, I mean, okay, this sounds really weird. I don't want to be like, I've dated a lot of different races.
No, but like, I think it's like you guys found that connection. Yeah. That's it, right? I think that's what it has to be. That's it.
And from my experience of like dating Korean men, there wasn't anything that specifically stood out because of their Korean-ness that made me not want to be with them. It generally came down to like personality and like where we are at in our lives. Like, it just like wasn't, it was generally how I would have, I guess, like differentiated a relationship, whoever it may have been.
Yeah.
And I guess it would be cool. I guess like this one side of the trope that I kind of get annoyed by is that like, but then why do I have to be with an Asian guy just because I'm Asian? Like, yeah. I just find that really weird.
I think it's just hard for people to also understand there's a big standard within families that you keep your partner's Asian. Like, I don't think they know that more publicly. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, whether or not, like, I think the trope of like the white male, like straight couple and like the female is like Asian, that's more known now. But like, there is a big trope within our families to keep it within our culture. So like, I don't think people really know that very often in terms of like, if you're depicting for mainstream, right? Like, there's definitely your great aunt or people being like, oh, I hope your partner's Chinese. Like, when you're growing up, right? Like, that happens to us, but like, that's not widely broadcast. So like, for us, there's a big pressure. And for out there, it might seem like, well, why are you so like upset about like no Asian? Like, you know, it's just we know it so much. Like, the thing is like, we have been told that for so long. Whereas like, it's not like go and seek who you like. It's like, go find someone that's your exact culture, right? That's what we've been told. So like, I think that's where we get really conflicted and weird. Like, there's so many standards of, you know, honoring your family and doing all that. And also your family, mostly, I'm going to say lots of Asian families want them to marry into the same culture, which is like, it's not easier. Weird. Yeah. It's,
yeah.
Because they think it's easier. And like, I'm sure it is, but like, it's never like, go find someone that's nice to you. Go find someone that's great.
Makes you happy.
Or like, you have a connection with. So that's why I think it's just so heightened for us when we see like these articles or these shows or like, why do I have to be, you know, like, there's so many questions for us. So I think like, basically, just got to focus on the situation that if they make you happy in a good place and where you are, like, I think that's it. It's so hard though.
Yeah.
Because it's like all these outside voices that are constantly badgering me. And I think a lot of other people who are, you know, Asian femmes, like, I think it's always a thing that's going to be a thing that's people always telling you what to do.
Yeah.
Who you should be with.
Exactly.
You know, whether it be parents, whether it be your friends, whether it be like shows, you know, it's just weird.
Yeah. It does get kind of personal. Or like, I feel like sometimes like, On our like social media, we get comments sometimes from like a fake account when they're like, how are you like advocating for Asians, but you guys are both like with white men? Or like, I paraphrase that in a politically correct way. It was way harsher the way that they said that statement to us. But things like that like makes me like really annoyed and like upset because like, why? Just because I'm with a white partner, I don't have any agency to speak about like my Asian-ness or like what my experience is.
No, and,
like,
yeah, exactly. So that's a part like I find really frustrating. Like, there's just so many complexities. Again, if there's not enough stories about us to understand who we are, other than just like being rich or like whatever, these little stories that are coming out, it's just so hard to explain. Whereas like other people, well, especially white people, don't get those kind of questions at all, right? Like, it's like, oh yeah, maybe you're with an Asian person or whatever. It's more the emphasis that you're with the Asian person or with the black person than it's like you being white and like choosing what you want to, who you want to be with, right? It's like, it's just so frustrating. Like, and also within like our culture, like my partner is Filipino, like there's also like a big class situation within Asia that's just really hard to explain. Like,
it's so rough to like say it out loud because like, we all know it.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, it's we really know it. Yeah.
But it's hard. It makes me sick to vocalize it because it's so evident and so true.
Yeah.
And like, it's just like a common sense thing between the Asians. Yeah. But like, yeah, I just think that's so fucked up.
I know, exactly. So it's like, if you're like, we have a lot of complex stuff to deal with within our even like huge ass race, like that people just label us Asian. So like, it's just so much more complicated than that. I think like the baseline is like, once you're comfortable with yourself, of course you're changing, but like doing things because not the way you want to be seen by other people, but because you just like the person or like they support you or whatever. It's just harder than listening to all those sides. Like, I don't think, like, when we get those comments, it's definitely from people who like have a very simple mind, right? Like, it's just like, how do you immediately equate that to that? It's just weird. And then for some reason we're made to like, you know, think badly about ourselves or double take about, oh, maybe I shouldn't be with, like, maybe I'm not worthy of speaking. Like, no, why are you not worthy of that? Just because this person has such a simple-minded view of the world, right? So, like, are there like family friends who are Chinese of mine that literally strut around their white boyfriend in a very obvious, weird colonial way? Yeah, there is. But like, not everyone is like that. There mm-hmm. There's so much range and there's so much diversity to what that means. And I just like don't believe that it's so simple. So those people, man, find some love, mm-hmm. you know, find some love, go find some connections. Good for you if you like to live your life that way. But it's just so wild to tell someone to shut up because they are in a partner, like they have chosen mm-hmm. their partner. Like that's just so wild to me.
Yeah. That's my mess. Rant. That's our rant for the day. But that's I did mess. Like that article. I thought it was interesting. I am very excited for the new content that we're going to get. I saw some like A24 casting call for like a bunch of Asian characters. Like I think it's changing. I think we're able to see it. I hope that there's no other Asian girls out there that are living your lives thinking that no white men will find them attractive because there is no representation. And like, personally, like selfishly, I would love to see more representation of like biracial couples and like what it means like when they have kids and like how do they struggle or how do they find the balance of teaching both cultures and, you know, what is it like when they're in school? Like, I don't know, that to me is really interesting. And like, I personally like have followed so many like Asian and like white partner couples on Instagram just so that I want to see how they raise their kids and like how they show up. And like, I find that just like selfishly for like my current position.
Like your personal.
Yeah. And I think that representation is also really important. But I hope that by the time that like we have more content coming up, by the time like I have kids and they grow, we can have something to reference back to and be like, you know, like, you know, this is what you can watch as a coming of age story, not like Pretty in Pink, you know?
No, definitely. And I think like there's just so much to navigate and share. Like, am I going to try to do all the, like, because I've been with my partner, like, I get to celebrate Christmas now. We don't mm-hmm. celebrate Christmas. Like, Filipinos love family parties yeah. and Christmas and eating. And I'm just like, it's so sick when like we can meld, but also understand our differences and also just like try to understand, like, especially in my case, like the whole class structure, also working through it and understanding it. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's like for every person personally, like, if it's like a sensitive topic where people are calling you out on like who your partner is, it's just no one's business. And obviously that yeah. person doesn't really know you unless you're really giving off that really strange vibe. Like, that's a thing. Is everything cultural appropriation? No. Is mm-hmm. some stuff cultural appreciation? Yeah. It's case by case.
Are we gatekeeping?
Yeah, it's case by case, but it's also really personal. Like, it's yeah. just really hard to see. And like, I think for us to fight for a voice and find our place, like we've gone through so many barriers and that's why we're just like, when people say that about us, it's like, you do all the work and then they're mm-hmm. just like minimizing you to just a girl who just likes yeah. to deal with a white guy. It's just yeah. like very
that pissed
weird.
Me off.
Yeah. It's just very strange to minimize people like that. But that's like a very common thing for POC women and femmes to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Very obviously.
Yeah.
Why? Just like to overstep us. And if we're too loud, they're just like, hey, chill.
Yeah. I am really excited because I have a really nice lineup of new TV shows to watch on a weekly basis now.
Okay, so give us like your lowdown quick in these last few minutes.
Okay, so Sunday's obviously watching House of Dragon. I never watched Game of Thrones, but something about this one is really getting me excited. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy because now I have seasons of Game of Thrones to catch up when it's going into hibernation mode. Mm. I don't know when that new episodes come out, but I've been watching The Patient with Steve Carell.
Yes.
Intense.
I need to
intense.
Like get in that mindset. Yeah. I feel like it's
dark.
Too much. Yeah.
And then I'm watching Tell Me Lies, which also new episodes on a weekly basis. Cool. Keeping Up with the Kardashians on Thursdays.
Wow.
I know. And then
she's
busy. I guess I was watching Little Women, but I'm kind of over that now.
She's like the one you're watching. Yeah, I'm not doing that.
What's on your roster?
Little Women. I mean, I'll always be watching like Mukbang. I've watched a lot of great old movies that I never watched a lot of movies growing up. So I've been going through my partner's list.
That's so nice. Like classics?
Like sport classics, oh, which nice. Are really cool. Like, oh my God, I'm so bad at names. I'll give you the names
like
later.
Coach Carter?
Like not that, but like literally classics that I can't think of. Remember the Titans? Like
oh,
those
I
kind
haven't
of things.
Seen that.
Yeah. Like, so I'm just like low-key embarrassed. I didn't watch Disney. I only watched Mulan and I watched like dramas growing up because my mom doesn't care for that. So like I'm
are
catching
you watching
up.
Disney?
And it's very I only watched Mulan, really.
Oh no, but like are you re-watching Disney?
No.
Okay.
I'm good with that. But I did watch a lot of I did watch Studio Ghibli and like my partner pointed this out to me, but I think I would like use it for a relaxing edible moment. Like there's a 30 minute
I love that.
30 minute like just Studio Ghibli animations, no words, no dialogue, no story. It's just beautiful, like waves, Japan landscape, fields. And it's like, wow, that's like a vibe. I might be down for that.
I've never watched an anime movie.
You've never watched like Spirited Away?
No.
Okay. I know. Go watch it. I think I watched it in Hong Kong when I was really young. So I love Studio Ghibli. So it's like my Disney, but I just like, just go watch it.
I know. So there's another one that everyone says it's like a good, like
Totoro?
No, it's like, I don't know. I have a save somewhere, but like, yeah, I that is on my list.
It's hard to get into. I know it's good new. Like, it's like when I watch Disney or like animations, I'm like, oh my God. But then when I watch them, like, well, the recent ones where they're really like have like very diverse storylines, I'm like crying. I'm like
Turning Red, Bald Man.
Yeah, obviously Turning Red and like Moana. Like, there's a lot. Yeah. I watched those and I was like, I'm crying. Like, what the hell is going on? Yeah.
No, we're still babies at heart.
Truly. Nice.
Well, good fat list. I think, guys, we're probably going to be doing monthly here, and then we'll revisit how much more frequently we're going to do.
Yeah.
But lovely questions. Thank you for sending those in. And then we will catch you next time.
Yeah. And you can always DM us at imaiden_ and send us questions. And maybe we'll just do more posting on our Instagram.
To let you know that we're here. And we are.
We're still alive. But it's great to, you know, hang out. And we'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye.